Every once in a while, when I'm sitting over there, different ideas come to mind. I know that that's not the only place I think, by the way. I do think other places. But I was, when I was standing there, I went over and asked Jerry to pray that I would get my mind straight today. And see, we come to praise God, but sometimes I think we forget what needs to precede our praise. And I wonder sometimes if we walk around with besetting sins. Sins that we fight with all the time, sins that never seem to go away, no matter if we confess them. You know, sometimes you confess and they come right back. And so you confess them again. And so I'm going to start today by reading Psalm 51, just a few verses from Psalm 51. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against thee, thee only, I have sinned and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak and blameless when thou dost judge. It is, when I pray, you've heard the formula acts. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. I do it differently. In 1 Peter it says, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. And so I use cast. Confession, adoration, supplication, and thanksgiving. Now it's just a little bit different. But for me, before we go to praise, we need to confess our sins. Our hearts need to be right before God and pure before God. And so I want us to take just a minute or two, not a long time, to bow in prayer before God and to ask him to search our hearts, to confess any sin that we might find there, and then we'll go on to the rest of the service. So pray, would you please? Father, we come to you today as humbly as we know how. And Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would be active in our lives to search our hearts, to reveal any sin, any besetting sin that is there. I pray that as sin is revealed, that we would confess it and thank you that you always forgive. Lord, I pray that our minds would be right and our hearts would be yours. I pray today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Psalm 34, again. It is my favorite psalm. I've told you that 1,000 times before. But Psalm 34, I'm going to read the psalm again, starting in verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord. And I'm going to, just before I even go further, I want you to turn to Psalm 150. It is the last of the Psalms. Psalm 150. I think the psalmist was consumed by praise. Over his lifetime, I think God had done so many things in his life, and he was reflecting on those things, and he was absolutely consumed, overwhelmed by praise. Are we that way? Are we consumed with praise? Are we overwhelmed? Listen to what the psalmist says. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. What has God done in your life that you need to praise Him for? God's mighty deeds. They may not seem mighty to you, but when God works in our lives, aren't those mighty deeds? When He forgives our sin, isn't that a mighty deed? When he walks with us, when He orders our steps, isn't that a mighty deed? God is full of power and miracles, and we need to praise Him because of who He is and what He's done. Praise Him with the trumpet sound. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. I got to stop here. I had a pastor one time who said he's not sure about going to heaven because he hates harps. Well, they're going to be there. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. I was doing a funeral the other day. It was for an African-American family. I'd done one earlier this year, and there was an old gentleman that is a pastor in Akron, and he came forward, and he was doing some speaking. And then later on, he looked at me and said, I apologize to you and to the church, but we are Pentecostal. And this is what would be going on if, Micah, you were here. If we were in our church, we would be singing. Let's talk about an old B3 Hammond organ. And that thing would be ringing out. We'd be singing and we'd be dancing. And I'm thinking, I went and said, you know, every once in a while, I want to be a Baptocostal. What do you think? But we ought to have joy in the Lord. We ought to be people whose lives are characterized by praise. And praise is absolutely essential. If you don't praise God, you will be so focused on yourself that you won't accomplish anything. I was just different on that funeral day, wasn't I, Mike? We'd be getting ugly. But halfway through, one of the ladies asked me to read from John 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And while I was thinking about that, while I was reading it ahead of time, I thought, there's that old Southern gospel hymn, Mansion Over the Hilltop. Now, y'all know that song? Any of you know that song? And so we got there, and I don't know why I did this. I just did it. A guy later said it was the Holy Spirit. I sang the chorus to that song during the funeral. And they were getting into it. But the fact is, we need to be people of praise. And that praise needs to flow out of who we are. It's an amazing thing that God's doing in our lives. When's the last time you praised God for the little stuff? What would we call little? Every breath you take. Don't we take that for granted? Every breath I take, every step I make, there's a song in there somewhere. But the fact is, the little things we take for granted. Our health. Do we take that for granted sometimes? Our relationships. We take them for granted and they become less than they should be. Praise Him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. One day the animals will praise God. One day the fish in the ocean will praise God. And so it is a privilege. It is our privilege to praise Him, isn't it? So we need to, every once in a while, just get up out of our heads and start praising God. I've told people this story over and over and over again, and I even put it on Facebook. And one of the most glorious experiences I've ever had as a pastor in this church. A few weeks ago, I was preaching from Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. We had a baptism that Sunday. And what I said, the only thing that could make this service better is if Miss Jean got up out of that wheelchair and danced down the aisle. Well, she didn't dance down the aisle, but she walked down the aisle. And that was a moment of praise for all of us, wasn't it? We don't need to praise God just with the big stuff. We need to praise God with all the stuff. I got my car today, and it started. Right? I got my Bible. I'm with God's people, spending time with God's people, worshiping God. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Y'all suppose you can remember that verse? That you can memorize that one single verse? You could put it on your refrigerator. You could put it on your rearview mirror. Just don't block the whole thing out. You can put it on your dashboard. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. How many of you in this room are everything? You could call yourself an everything. I can. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Shouldn't that characterize our lives? Back to Psalm 34. You are part of everything. So anyway, Psalm 34. I sought the Lord and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him and were radiant, and their faces shall never be the same. Why? How can we come to God's house and go, When we come to the presence of God, shouldn't our faces reflect what our hearts are doing? I'm just thinking. Our praise and adoration and worship begin in our inner person, and they flow out of our inner person, and others can see that praise. Others can see our worship. Others can see our joy, our relationship with God. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for to those who fear Him there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the words of David. I thank you that we can bless the Lord, to magnify his name, to exalt him, to invite others to come with us and celebrate who he is. Lord, I pray today that our focus will be completely on you, that nothing will take our attention away. Lord, I pray that you, through the Holy Spirit, would work in our lives and change us from the inside out. May we leave this place differently than when we came in. And Lord, we will give you glory and honor because to you, those things alone are due. So Lord, we ask that your presence continue to fill this place. And we will bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 4, I sought the Lord. Jeremiah 29, and if you read this, you probably knew I was going to go there. Jeremiah 29, turn there. Or they'll have it up on the screen, won't you, John? Say yes. Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning of verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and calamity, and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you. When you make plans for your life, do you consult God? God says, I know the plans I have for you. Do we get in touch with Him so that we know the plans that He has for us? Shouldn't we go to Him? Just a thought. It says, when you search for me with all your heart. Are we half-hearted Christians? In this building, we'll say, oh, no, we're not half-hearted Christians. But when we get out there during the week, are we half-hearted Christians? No. I preached a sermon a long time ago, And the church that I came from here, they invited me back to speak. They never invited me back again. And I believe this is the reason. The sermon was called Cowboy Christians. You know what a cowboy Christian is? It's a person who has one foot in the church and one foot in the world, and they ride that fence for all they can. We are not committed completely to God, and we want to think that we're taken out of the world, but we want to play in both areas. Where should we play? We should play in God's kingdom. I sought the Lord and He answered me. With all your heart. Praise will lead us to that point. Praise will lead us to seeking God with all our hearts. There is no room in the kingdom of God for half-hearted believers. We are either all in or we are not in at all. That's just like somebody will say, and you see different denominations fighting over God's word. Listen, you cannot pervert this word and it still be the word of God. You can say, well, God was wrong here. If you believe the Bible is 99% true and 1% lie, then it is all a lie. It is either all true or none of it is true. It is, if John 3:16 is true, then the rest of it must be true. We seek Him with all our hearts. And my question for me, for you all this morning is, and for me first, do we? Do we seek God with all our hearts? And if we don't, why don't we? Why don't we? And I think sometimes it's because we've become too casual with our relationship with God. That we don't focus enough on the cross and what God has done for us. You know, Easter is still in the future, but Christmas is coming. And we worship that baby in the manger, right? But that's only the first part of the story. The last part of the story, and it's not even the last part, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The cross, where He shed His blood for us so that through faith in Him, we might be saved. That we might have the absolute assurance of eternal life. And those things alone should cause us to seek God with everything we are. My question again is, do we? Verse 6. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and rescues them. Listen, whenever you see the phrase, the angel of the Lord, that is talking about a pre-incarnate manifestation of the Son of God. It's called a theophany. The angel. God encamps around us. Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because You are with me. No matter where we are, no matter where we find ourselves, we need to be assured that the presence of God is with us. The Bible says He goes before us, He comes behind us, and He walks with us. There aren't very many of you in this room who remember Fern Willis. But Fern was an amazing woman, and it seemed like every time I really needed an encouragement, a card would show up in my mailbox. She was incredible at that. Her favorite psalm was Psalm 91. Turn there. The angel of the Lord, remember, encamps around those who fear Him and deliver Him. Psalm 91, I'm going to read the first four verses. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. Our God is able, isn't He? Our God is able to protect us. Our God is able to deliver us. In the first two verses of Psalm 91, there are four names of God. He's the Most High. He's the Almighty. He's the Lord. And He is God. Have you ever studied the names of God? First, the Most High. It's El Elyon. It means God's strength and sovereignty. He is all-powerful. He has all strength, and He is in control of everything. Even when it seems like in our lives things are spiraling out of control, He is in absolute control. He knows everything that's happened to us, everything that will happen to us, everything that is currently happening to us, and He has the strength to help us overcome. It says He's the Almighty. That's El Shaddai. El Shaddai. Talks about God's overpowering, all power. Somebody said He's the overpowerer. I think that's a new word. But He is the overpowerer. When the enemy comes against us, who's greater? Greater is He that is in me, right, than he that is in the world. He overpowers the enemy. He gives us the strength to walk in His Spirit. To walk in victory. I will say to the Lord, the word there is Yahweh. Yahweh. Talks about the active, self-existent one. In Exodus chapter 3, God appears to Moses, and what's He say? Moses says, "Whom shall I say sent me?" And God says, "I am. Tell them I am has sent you. I am who I am." The word means to be. I am the one who is. The amazing thing about our God is He is what we need Him to be all the time. The last word, God, is Elohim. It's used in Genesis chapter 1. Elohim talks about the strong one, the mighty leader, the supreme deity. It denotes power and majesty. Now, reading those things and understanding those things about who God is there anything too great for God? Is there anything that He cannot do? Is the Scripture right when it says all things are possible through Christ? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He is the overpowerer, the Almighty God. The creator of the universe. Think about this. He spoke this whole place into existence just by His word. It says He covers you with His pinions. I read a story a long time ago, and it makes sense to me. There was a forest fire and destroyed almost everything in its path. And there were some people walking down a path. And they saw a dead bird on the side. And they just nudged that dead bird off the side with his foot. And all of a sudden, out from under that dead bird came little baby birds. That mother had given her life to save her children. It's an incredible thing for me. It's a picture of what Jesus did for us on the cross. He gave His life to save us so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. If you're having trouble praising the Lord, think of that. How Jesus gave His life for us, not for what He did, but for what we had done and are doing. Her death provided life for her babies. Jesus' death provides life for us. In John chapter 10, He said, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Someone has said that real life begins when this life ends. We spend all the rest of days in the presence of God. Back to Psalm 34. Verse 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." Taste and see. Talks about experiencing. try, and experience. John Piper said this, "You say you haven't tested or tasted God's glory? I say you have tasted the appetizers. Go on to the meal. Go on to God Himself." We praise God for the air we breathe. John Piper says that's an appetizer. Getting in touch with God starts with the Gospels and the cross. You want to really get in touch with God? You want to really taste and experience God? Read the Gospels. See what Jesus did. Follow His experiences. Follow Him in obedience. And focus on the cross. Verses 9 and 10 in Psalm 34. "O fear the Lord, you His saints, for to those who fear Him there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing." And there are a couple passages of Scripture that came to mind, and one is in Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 25 says this. David says, "I've been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his descendants begging bread." Those who seek the Lord have everything they need. Not everything they wish for, not everything they want, but everything they need. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. "For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more do for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or with what shall we clothe ourselves?' For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. But your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Four times in this passage of Scripture, Jesus says, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Why? Because God's in control. Because God promises to meet our needs. But there is a condition here. God meets our needs if what? Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God has to be first, doesn't He? Anxious. Diane and I went to, her last name's Miller, so we went to a Miller family gathering yesterday. And there is, Diane has a cousin named Gary. And I would ask you to pray for him. He has surgery tomorrow. There's a mass in his colon. They're not sure exactly what it is. But understandably, Gary is anxious. And so I talked to him yesterday, just a little bit. And in our conversation, we talked about anxiety and worry and trust. Gary's a believer, and he trusts God. And so I'm going to ask you to pray for him when you think of him later today and tomorrow. He's having surgery tomorrow. But they're going to take 75% of his colon. But even then, Gary said, I can praise God because of what's going to happen. It's an amazing thing that even in the midst of stuff, we can praise God. Joyce, when you had cancer a few years ago, we can still praise Him, right? At the beginning, it's a little harder. But then we begin to rely on God and allow the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. And the Holy Spirit moves us to praise Him. So it doesn't really matter what the situation you're in. We can still praise God regardless. Cheryl, you talked about that last week, about praising God through Alyssa's sickness. Now, by the way, how is she? And that's a praise. Jim Johnson's sitting back there. Jim hasn't been able to be in church for a while. Jim had his hip replaced. And he walked into this place this morning. Should we praise God for that? It is incredible what God does for us. And sometimes we forget to praise Him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Back to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 11. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What's David talking about? Listen, this is what God has done in my life. I am going to teach you how to trust God more by following my example. Did David always get it right? Nope. And yet he was called a man after God's own heart. Is that right? David messed it up. But God forgave David, and David praised God. We can mess it up once in a while. We can mess it up big time. But God stands ready to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me ask you this. When's the last time that you sat down with somebody and invited them to listen to your testimony? People want to hear what God's doing in your life. Try this every once in a while. Go up to a believer, a friend in this church, or someone and say, what's God done in your life last week? We don't ask that question very often, do we? Maybe we don't ask that question very often because He's not done much in our lives because we haven't focused on Him. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. We need to be discipling people. Verse 13, 14. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Paul wrote to Timothy, flee immorality. Run away. Talks about our praise will lead to right behavior. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Maggie sent me a text this week and said, can you tell me in the Bible where there are verses about profanity? I've never had that request before. But in Ephesians chapter 4 says, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. Smack. I don't always get that one right either. Let no unwholesome, but only that which is there to build one another up. Praising God needs to lead to a change in behavior. Verse 18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. When your heart is broken, do you seek Him? Is that the first place you go? He is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And we need to remember that when things are going badly in our lives. He's there. He cares. He heals. He lifts up. He encourages. He gives strength. He is there for us. Verse 22. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. To redeem means to set free, to deliver from sin, to deliver from bondage. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We are redeemed by his blood. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness of sin. In order for our sin to be not just covered, but to be washed away, Jesus had to go to the cross and there shed his blood for our sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. I talked to a pastor one time. He's my pastor. And I disagreed with what he said. When I said that, he said, well, it can also mean death. No, it can't mean death. You can die without shedding your blood, can't you? Jesus died. He shed his blood for us. He was the sacrifice for us, the perfect sacrifice. And in order for our sin to be completely wiped away, he needed to shed his blood for us. Forgive means to take away and put somewhere else. When God takes our sin away, where did he put it? He put it on Jesus. I like it in Psalm 103 where it says, he remembers our sin no more forever. As far as the east is from the west, he's removed our sin. It is amazing what God has done for us. Let me ask you this. This is just, I just came to mind. If God forgives your sin completely, do you? You see, we hold on to our sin sometimes, don't we? And I ask that question because we tend to hold on to it and we feel guilty. Listen, can you forgive yourself? No. We only find forgiveness in Jesus. We can come to terms with it, but we need to appropriate his blood for the forgiveness of sin. In him we have redemption through his blood. Ephesians 1:7. John, put that up on the screen. I'll see if I can read it from here. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sin, trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. In him we have redemption, what? Through his blood. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And what? The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It is the blood of Christ that redeems us. Revelation chapter 5, chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, I'll have to go to my Bible. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. You all can see it. Wally, read that for us. Revelation 1, well, there it went away. Revelation 1, 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins, how? By his blood. Psalm 34. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Taking refuge in him means that he has become our Savior. We have trusted him with our lives. Not one of them who takes refuge in him will be condemned. I am grateful that when we trust Christ as our Savior, we are adopted into his family. I'm grateful that when we trust Christ as our Savior, that our salvation is all about God. He initiates it, he continues it, and he will bring it to completion. Our salvation does not depend upon me, because if it depended on me, I'd be lost. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says this, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. God saves you. He's going to continue that work in you, that work of salvation, until the day that Jesus comes. When we are saved forever. We are saved completely. We cannot lose that salvation. It doesn't matter what you hear other people say. Our God is sufficient. Our God is sufficient to save us. And I'm grateful. He redeems us through His blood. Not one of those who take refuge in Him will be condemned. Romans 8 says that we are more than conquerors in Him. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I'll close with these verses again. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let's exalt His name together. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, how grateful we are for Your word.